Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this week I thought we'd talk a little bit about things that you can focus on for next year to make the most out of that running year. So I think everyone is sort of like getting towards the end of the year, and you sort of start thinking about next year, and if you do New Year's resolutions, and that's sort of something that you start to think about. So it's a great time to look at not so much what you're going to be doing, but the habits that you can create and the approaches that you can take that are going to give you the most out of that year. Before we get stuck into it, I thought I'd remind you that Run Down Under have their competition running for if you renew in November or join in November, and you can join the Operation Move team on there, and it plots your progress around a map of Australia, which is pretty cool. And so if you join or renew in November, then you go into the draw to win an all paid trip to Hamilton Island to run the half marathon there, which looks pretty amazing. So if you're already a member, definitely it's a good idea to renew now. Like, I think that my actual renewal date is in August, but I'll pop in now and renew. So I really like sort of having the total kilometers for the year that they sort of at the end of the year they send you out a Run Down Under medal, and you can pay for the like the item that goes on the back that has the kilometers that you run for the year, which is pretty cool. So instead of just looking at it on my Strava, I can have it on my wall, which I like. So I'll link up to that so you can go check that out. I think that there are currently about 50 people in the Rundown Under team, so you can also look at leaderboards and challenges and things like that. So we'll dive into the five things to focus on for next year to make sure that you have an awesome year. And the first one is this. I think it becomes a problem because most sort of running plans are in that sort of, you know, like 12 to 16 week cycle. And it's really easy for the perfectionist in you to look at that as a be all and end all and a success versus failure thing. But it's important to adjust your mental approach to it, so that if something happens, like you get sick or you have like a few crazy weeks at work or whatever it is, it's really easy in that sort of headspace to think, oh, I'm behind and now I feel like I can't catch up, and for that to be something that sort of deflates your sense of purpose. The reality is that is just self-sabotage in action, because there is no behind, there's just where you are, which is a lot further along than you would have been 6 months ago or a year ago, and there's where you want to be, and it's just about taking whatever that next step is. And that's not necessarily not adjusting the plan at all, like that definitely is something that you probably want to look at, but it's keeping the focus on moving forward and not getting locked in to these really kind of arbitrary time frames. Like in the grand scheme of things, who cares if something takes you 12 weeks or 16 weeks or 18 weeks or whatever it is? The main thing is it's something that creates a forward momentum that is just not impacted by this sort of idea you had in your mind of where you would be versus where you are. Because if you take a step back from it, it's really obvious that your options of not doing anything because you're disappointed about how the plan worked out and now you feel like you're low in motivation versus moving forward and doing whatever the next step is, there's no way you would pick the first one there. They'll always pick the second one. But if you're really sort of stuck in that sense of, oh, I've already failed, then it's really hard to see the big picture. So I would say the main thing in that area is start learning to identify what self-sabotage looks like, start being less attached to these really short-term plans. Like, they're great to sort of set you on a structure, but once you're rolling, it doesn't matter, like, if you meet like this specific deadline or that specific deadline or this specific date, or if something takes you a few extra weeks, like, it's all moving forward is good. And the second part is doing the unglamorous work, like the things that never end up on Strava, or they do, but people find them significantly less interesting. So, you know, like all the rehab stuff or prehab stuff, or all of the, you know, all of the strength training. I mean, if you think about it, ideally, like most people are probably in between 160 to 180 cadence, which means that your foot is hitting the ground 80 to 90 times in a minute. And if you're running for, you know, half an hour, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of load that is going through your feet at any given time. And it's not just your body weight. Like, they're usually, because of how running weights, it's like probably like about 2.5 times your body weight. So for you to be able to withstand that kind of cyclical load, there has to be an equivalent amount of strength training to withstand it, basically. And you can get away with not for a period of time, and then things will start breaking down and your body will say, yeah, no, we're not doing this. And a lot of the stuff that you do to strengthen that is by nature repetitive, and you don't necessarily feel the impacts of it day to day, and it can be hard to see, you know, how it's benefiting you in the short term. And then you'll stop doing it for a while, and then things will start falling apart, and you're like, oh yeah, what's doing something? So all of those things, like calf isometrics and glute bridges and, you know, single leg deadlifts, or, you know, sort of split squats, like all of those things that are strengthening your legs are probably not the most exciting thing in your week, but the more you do it, the more longevity you have. And basically the key to sort of improvement and training is just like, is a lot of it is staying healthy. So you want to devote the kind of time that you need to that, like put it in the schedule, write it down. Do not consult how you feel about doing it. You know, it's just like, treat it like anything else, like doing the dishes or hanging out washing or insert thing here that you just like to do, but do all the time. And usually having a set time of the day that you do it helps too. But just keep front of mind why you're doing it. Like, there is a purpose to it. And if you keep the purpose front of mind, then it's a lot easier to get through that stuff. And you're just like, right, cool, I'm going to put my podcast on and do my thing. I'm going to get this done. And it gets easier each time. It's just like in the beginning, how with running, it was hard to get out the door. And now, as you know, as you get along, it's a lot easier. And this is the same, you know, it's like you'll get better at it, but to get better at it, you have to go through the hard part. And it also helps to have people who support you, who know how much you struggle to get it done. So, you know, like sometimes a bit of an accountability buddy helps in that. Like, you know, you put in your running post in your running group that you're about to do it, or you message your friend saying, I'm about to do this, and then I'm gonna have my coffee reward after it, or whatever it is, and just create some structure around it so that it happens no matter what. The third thing, it's something I posted about this week actually, is removing minimizing language from the way you talk about your own running, which I know is really hard, and I'm always working on it too. But things like, I quote, only run 5Ks, or yeah, I run, but it's more of a shuffle, or I run, but I also walk, or I run, but I'm not that fast, or any of the derivations therein that you could come up with. They're all things that are taking away from you, not giving to you. It's harder to be excited about things when you're always minimizing what it is that you're doing. It's harder to be proud of yourself when you're always saying that what you do is not that important. And it's hard to prioritize those things when you are constantly squashing them down to a level that you think is acceptable to other people. And I know a lot of it is just ingrained, and it takes a long time to, and a lot of just like catching yourself in the moment, and it can be uncomfortable at first. And, you know, like all of that sort of cultural stuff about like not blowing your own trumpet and, you know, not boasting, and like all of that sort of stuff comes up, and there's all of this stuff to do with sort of imposter complex that comes up. And I know that it's not as simple as just like, just don't do it. But instead of not doing it, also think about, how would you talk about it if you were talking about a friend? Because that's a lot easier a lot of times to sort of come around to, and that makes it easier. And you know, like it's just so easy to fall into that habit from time to time. And and I think it's so beneficial with how you think about yourself, how you think about your running, how you think about your priorities, to just slowly make inroads into like getting it out of what you're saying to yourself and the story that you're telling yourself about what your value is. Which really leads into the next thing, which is to approach everything with enthusiasm, even the things that you do not like. And it's a lot easier to approach things with enthusiasm when you're not sort of constantly downplaying what you're doing. And some of it comes into this as well, you know, like when you say, oh, I'm doing tempo intervals, or, you know, 400 meter intervals at 5 kilometer pace, but that's going to be really slow. That's also what you want to get out of a language, because pace is so, so relative. You know, everyone is slower compared to someone else, you know, and it's just, it's certainly doesn't take away from, like, the effort is the same, is what I'm saying. You know, it's like whether you have an Olympian running kilometer repeats at their 5k pace, or you're doing kilometer repeats at your 5k pace, the effort is exactly the same. The feeling is exactly the same. It does not matter what the pace is, and you're always going to have people who are faster than you, and you're always going to have people who are slower than you, you know, and it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really mean anything, because it's individual to each person. But regardless of what session you are doing, it is something that you want to start going into it with enthusiasm. Whether that's enthusiasm to find out how you go, whether that's enthusiasm to get better at something, whether you like it, don't like it, whatever, there needs to be some way to find something where you're excited to do it. So for me, there would be plenty of sessions I would go, that looks kind of scary. And that's okay. You know, like it's okay to look at something and, you know, kind of find it a little bit intimidating. But it's also good to have a conversation with yourself about, like, when you do feel that kind of intimidation level with it. Like, you know, a lot of times I'll kind of like, I'll look at it and I'll just break it down. So for example, I had 8 sets of 1 kilometer, and with like 1 minute rests in between. And a lot of times it's just sort of like talking yourself into it. It's like, okay, well, the other week I did, you know, 800 meter repeats on a grass track, and that worked out really well, and I've only got to go a teeny bit longer and I'm not on wet grass, so it's probably going to go a lot better. And yeah, there's like less recovery, but it's resting recovery, so I'll probably be feel pretty good, like going from interval to interval. And you can just sort of talk yourself through how it's going to be based on things that you've experienced before. And it's also important to realize that, you know, because you are going on personal effort, it's not really, there's no way to fail at it, because it's, you know, if it's below pace, if it's over pace, whatever happens, you know that the effort is there. So the pace in that kind of sense is not important. Like, the pace is there to give you a guide as to roundabout what it should feel like. And that can be really helpful. Like with the kilometer repeats, like, I found myself kind of holding back on the pace in the first few, but that was actually good, because then when I got to the last few, like, that extra energy helped. So it's just a tool to help you get the right sort of stimulus, but it's not a success versus failure thing with the pace. So I think it's a lot easier to be enthusiastic about things if you focus on it being an effort-based thing and not sort of like a pace outcome-based thing. You know, like, it's cool to see paces that are coming down, and that's very rewarding, you know, when you've been working hard and everything else. But finishing something and going, yep, I could have done 1 to 2 more reps, but not more than that, you're like, awesome, I'm in exactly the right zone, I've done my job. Particularly as we get into summer, and it's just like, it's a lot harder to kind of go off paces anyway. And even if the specific session is something that you struggle with, like, say, for example, like, oftentimes hills, especially long hill repeats, are not everyone's favorite, but you can still approach that excited to get stronger. And that's often what I think of when I'm going into things where I kind of know, yep, this is probably going to hurt a little bit. I'm probably going to have to dig deep in some of these sections. But also, if you're having a day where you're like, I'm not sure that, like, I can go to the well today, then just, like, take it down a notch, you know, like, take it down from, like, what you would normally be, your, like, 8 out of 10 effort, to, like, today we're just going to do a 6 out of 10, and that is fine, because that's mentally where I'm at, and that is what is going to put me in a position that I can enjoy this and be excited about this and still know that I'm getting out what I can from my training on this particular day. You never want to have the mental stresses of training be so great through the week that you end up being either, like, depleted mentally for races, or depleted in general. You know, like, you're always going to have, like, if you have 1 to 2 quality sessions a week or whatever it is, there's often going to be, like, a certain amount of nerves associated with those sessions, and most of the time that's kind of healthy. But thinking of it as an excitement rather than a pressure is going to help you do well, enjoy it while you're out there, and in general be pleasantly surprised, which is always far better. And if you find you are in a position where you can't quite come round to that, then that is a great time to look at the plan and go, okay, you know, like, mentally, I'm just not here for these types of sessions at the moment. You know, like, maybe I need a bit of downtime, maybe I need a reset. So instead of doing these long intervals or these hill sessions or whatever, I'm going to throw in some strides every now and then. I'm going to throw in some short hill stuff. I'm still going to sort of, like, turn my legs over regularly to sort of, like, have some of that input, but I'm going to keep everything at an easy rate just until I feel mentally ready to be excited about those other things. And, you know, you'll have running that goes in stages with that. So you want to protect that enthusiasm and that excitement as well. And sometimes that does mean changing what you're doing. And the final thing, which is the most ignored part of the whole process, even once you look at strength training, which tends to be pretty low on people's list, is recover like it is a run. So treat your recovery as like on the same level as you would with any of your run sessions. Like, how much time do you dedicate to making sure those run sessions happen and then they go well, from like going, okay, I'm going to like get all my clothes ready, I'm going to get out my water bottles for tomorrow, I'm going to get an early night, you know, I'm going to sort of, I'm going to have this fueling before I start, you know, I'm going to like plot out this route so that it's ideal for what my session is and all of that. And then almost nothing goes into recovering afterwards. So recovery is going to look different for different people. So like, it can be sleep, it can be nutrition, it can be doing mobility afterwards, it can be some active recovery afterwards, like whether it's sort of going for a swim or going for a walk. And it's definitely something that you're always kind of working on. I would say that sleep is the hardest one if you are, you know, somebody who's working and, you know, has kids or other commitments, family commitments, anything. Like, you certainly don't have to have kids to struggle in the sleep department, but also it doesn't help if you do. So I think that on the hierarchy of recovery, you could put sleep as the most important one, hands down. So you don't have to sort of like get into the, like the finer details of, you know, like sort of ice baths or like cold therapy if the sleep is not happening. So 100% your first focus should be on sleep, both before your sessions and after, and just through the week in general. Keeping in mind that the sleep that you get in between 10 at night and 2 in the morning is kind of like the most valuable sleep that you can have. So even if you're sleeping for 8 hours, but you're not going to bed before midnight, you're kind of shortchanging yourself a little bit there. So generally speaking, you want to be aiming for 8 hours. I know a lot of times that doesn't happen, but you can just focus on little improvements. Like, I noticed at a certain point, so in the beginning of the year, I was probably averaging like 6 hours. I was like, oh, it's not enough. And now it's closer to 7. It could still be a lot better. But just making those sort of incremental adjustments. And sometimes too, that means after like I pick up the kids, I might, and thankfully they're old enough for this, I tend to sort of set my alarm for like, you know, 45 minutes or something, and have a nap. And I'm lucky in that I can pretty much sleep at will. But so all of those things help. But then you also, you do notice the difference when you put the time into things like stretching and rolling and mobility as well. And for me, I do find cold showers, like have my warm shower first, but cold showers really help with sort of like muscle soreness, and it just returns the central nervous system to kind of like a status quo. So like all of that stuff that happens when you are doing something intense in an intense session, yeah, it sort of like elevates all of that. And so having that cold shower sort of like brings everything back to baseline. So that's part of why I find it useful. So if you find yourself in a situation where you've got your sort of sessions through the week, but you're finding you don't have enough time for quality sleep or for at least semi-regular sort of rolling or stretching and for looking after the nutrition that needs to be in place, then it's good to look at that and go, okay, I'm going to have to cut back on my volume here so that I can get this stuff in line and so that I'm going to get more value from what I am doing, which I get is probably an unpopular opinion, because running part is fun and the recovery part is less fun, except for the sleep. I do think sleep is very fun. But if you're already doing the running, then a lot of the other improvements that you make around the running are the things that are going to have the biggest impact on your year. because often the biggest impact that you can have on your year is just improving your fitness and improving your running without getting injured, so that then you have the opportunity to build on that the next year and the year after that, rather than continually having like having this great progress and then having these setbacks with injuries and then having to rebuild and all of that sort of process, which in the long term just slows you down. That's it for this week. I will be back next week talking to Kirsten as she is in full taper mode for her 100 kilometer. If you enjoy the podcast, I would love your support on Patreon. That's at patreon.com/opmove, and where you can get access to, there's lots of different options there. It can be bonus episodes, can be custom programming, can be coaching, and this week on there, the bonus episode is going to be on the real specifics of a recovery protocol that's going to sort of support all of your runs, especially the quality sessions, but also how to get the most out of your easy days as well.